I mean, every we have this talk. Yeah.
This meeting is being recorded.
Yeah. This is the month of our Babuji, the most revered father of the nation, Gandhiji. Hence, we have aptly been able to get a luminary, Dr. Rajvanshi, to talk to us about the relevance of Gandhi in today's world. His father was closely associated with Gandhiji. Now, let me give you a brief introduction to his biota runs into reels, but I can only give you a small, so I don't want to take more of his time. Dr. Rajvanshi's pioneering rural development work for the last 4 decades has spanned a whole lot of areas affecting the lives of rural population. Renewable energy, based cooking and lighting, power from agricultural residues, renewable fuel production from agriculture, electric cycle rickshaws, water purification. In this, he was the first person to promote the use of high technology for rural development, an idea that is in vogue nowadays. He established the Energy and Sustainable Development Work at Nimkar Agriculture Research Institute, NARI, at Phaltan, Maharashtra. He pioneered the concept of rural restaurants in 2012. This probably led to the setting up of Amma's Kitchen in Tamil Nadu and Shiva Bhojan in Maharashtra. He pioneered late 90s the concept of ethanol as cooking and lighting fuel for rural areas. He received the prestigious Jamnalal Bajaj Award for the use of science and technology of rural India from Dr. Manmohan Singh. In 22, Government of India honored him with the Padma Shri, one of the highest civilian awards. He has received a number of awards. I'm not able to go into all of them. He has delivered prestigious endowment lectures, and his achievements have been covered in mass media nationally and internationally. Actually, he's an alumni of IIT Kanpur. And he received, I mean, as a legend from there, some award again. Gandhiji once famously said, I'm just, he's going to talk to us about Gandhiji, but these are a couple of Gandhiji's quotes. He famously said, we need to model the change we wish to see in the world. And my life is my message, said Gandhiji. Now, over to you, sir, to handle us all. Thank you.
Thank you. So I think out of 44, 45, only 14 have come. But
Yeah,
that's
it
okay.
looks like they
Yeah.
will join in there.
First of all, I would like to thank Usha ji for inviting me, and she has been very persistent, which is a good thing because without persistence, you cannot achieve anything. And I was also very happy to see because I did some Google research that she has been doing this for a very long time, and which is a very noble thing for her to do. Is to get all of you interested in different things, and different people have come and lecture.
Thank you so much.
Now, this since second October World Gandhiji, can we somebody? Okay, so since October 2 was Gandhiji's birth anniversary, I thought that it will be a better thing to talk about Gandhiji than anything else. I also incidentally write a lot on spirituality. Around 150 of my articles have been published in Speaking Tree, in Times of India, and in a lot of other websites. And I have 2 books on this subject. And I use the same philosophy that I use in technology development in understanding the nature of human thought, mind, and other things. But today we are going to talk about Gandhiji. Now, this is the type of lecture I normally give to youngsters. I give lectures all over the country in IITs, IIMs, etc., and to also schools. And I find that it's a very sad thing that the narrative on Gandhiji is being very much corrupted. It has been doing a lot of harm to these youngsters' thinking. And so I give a lot of lectures on Gandhiji to these youngsters so that they should know the real truth of who really helped us get the independence and so many other things. So when Usha ji invited me to give a lecture to the older generation, so I was wondering what to do, what to say. Then suddenly a thought came that the older generation have the duty to educate the grandchildren and younger generation about Gandhiji. And I think this is a real message to all of you. Whomsoever you meet, your youngsters, your children, your grandchildren, talk about Gandhiji, because somehow he's being erased from our country, and which is a very bad thing. In fact, if you erase the history from a country's textbooks, etc., it doesn't augur very well for the future of them, for the country and other things. I was born around 2.5 years. In fact, with this lecture, I will look. I'll do like a interactive lecture. So I'll just talk for 25, 30 minutes, and I would like to get questions from you, because a lot of things get clarified when there are questions asked, sharp questions. And I'm sure that some of you, by the way, has anybody met Gandhiji among you? Hello?
No.
Nobody. Okay, because Ushaji said that there are some people who are 90 years old, so I thought maybe there will be somebody who met him in the flesh and blood. But
No, I saw him as giving a speech from a distance. That's all.
So anyway, so this is so I was born around 2.5 years after Gandhiji's death, so I
Oh.
never saw him in flesh and blood. But I had quite a number of interactions with people who were very close to him, because my father went to jail with him. In fact, my father was very young, 24 years old, when he went to jail in 1942, in the 42 movement that Gandhiji started. And in fact, my father was in the second string of leadership with H.N. Bahuguna, Biju Patnaik, Rafi Ahmed Kidwai, and so on and so forth. And a lot of these people who had worked with Gandhiji, I came to know later on, and I talked with them, because for whatever reason, maybe because my father went to jail with Gandhiji or whatever it was, that I was very inspired by Gandhiji. In fact, at the age of 13, I was given his Autobiography of Truth in Hindi by my father as a present, and it changed my life. It was like a switch. And when I read it, I forgot about my studies, etc., and just the whole his early life took hold of my brain, and that also started me on the path of spirituality and so many things. I've written about all these things in my books and a lot of articles that I write, and if you are interested, you can read, and Ushaji will share with you. So in that process, I read extensively both here and when I went to the United States. And I found some very fascinating things. And those fascinating things made me then look more carefully at rural development and so on and so forth. And that when I came back from the United States, I was probably the only IITian to come back from the United States in 1981 and go to rural India. And maybe that was an unconscious thing that was inspired by Gandhiji. So since 81, I have been living and working in rural Maharashtra. Now, whatever I have read, and the more I read and practice, I realize that he has a tremendous relevance today, just like what he wrote in the old times. And that relevance is what I have written a lot. And I believe, Ushaji, you have shared that latest article of mine, which was published in the largest newspaper in Maharashtra called Sakar, and basically it's about the relevance. And in almost everything that Gandhi did, he was far ahead of times, because he was a yogi and he possessed a very powerful mind. And when the powerful mind applies itself to any problem, then the results come out and the things are much better. He was also dictatorial. He was very harsh on himself, and so he was also harsh on the others. And these things always happen when you're a Masiya, and you always do these things because you feel that your path is a correct path. But his biggest thing which is relevant today is this inclusive growth, taking everybody together. Today we have a process in this country where we are dividing the country. We are creating dissensions from, based upon religion, caste, so many things. And what Gandhiji always did was to take everybody together and try to put things in perspective, because he wanted ultimately the best of the country in his mind. And when you have the good of the country in your mind, then you cannot go wrong. People may or may not agree with your thinking, but at least it is on the right path. He was also very secure, so he listened to all different voices and points of view. And because of his powerful personality, people ultimately came to his point of view. And so it was like a decision taken by everybody. Though it was his decision, but people felt that it was a decision taken by everybody. And then the most important thing that he did was, which is very relevant today, is to talk on sustainable development. Sustainable development is what is the most important thing today. If our world has to survive, it has to be because we can only survive if we live sustainably. And Gandhiji showed through his life that you can live in a sustainable manner. And I have also shown through my life for the last 35 years that I don't live in a jhobar patti or in a hut, etc. I live a very decent life, but with much less energy. Because if you live with much less energy, simple living and high thinking, which Gandhiji taught, then I think all of us can help the world to live in a sustainable manner. So this is something which was very, very important for me. And I think if we follow Gandhiji's teachings, then that is what will help us in the long run. And another thing that he was a pujari of non-violence, and which is all the more necessary right now in our world. The world's countries are fighting amongst each other. We are fighting among ourselves. And non-violence is very much important. Non-violence cannot be simply by saying non-violence, you become non-violent. It requires a tremendous effort and tremendous power of thinking. And Gandhiji showed through his own life that non-violence is the most potent force if you have a powerful mind. And as you know, I don't know how many of you have read, I have written a lot of articles on Gandhiji. Please go through my writings. And if some of you are interested, then you can read different articles on different aspects of Gandhiji. And to my mind, he was a very spiritual person. In fact, everything else came secondary. Gandhiji was a very spiritual person because he was not a religious person. He was a spiritual person. Anybody who goes for the truth becomes spiritual in his or her life. And all great scientists who were seekers of truth were also very spiritual. Einstein, Newton, so many of them. And so this is what was the greatness about Gandhi, that he was a spiritual person, and everything, politics, and everything that he did in his life came from that spirituality. Being a pujari of truth, he was bitterly honest about himself, and which sometimes was not very good because he was very harsh on himself, and so he was also very harsh on him, on his people who surrounded him, including his sons, his wife, and so on and so forth. And sometimes it is not a very good thing to be harsh on oneself, but this is what he did. And he being a messiah, he could get away with it. Brain. He thought deeply in producing cotton, producing the cloth material, whether it is for fighting for the country, fighting for anything. He got a tremendous high. He got a tremendous satisfaction in doing all those things. And I think, and this is what I tell the youngsters, that whatever you do with a passion. And if you do with a passion, then you will always be the correct thing. So I would now request some of you to ask questions. It was a short 15, 20 minutes, my talk. Usha ji, you can hear me?
Yes, sir. I just mute every all the participants
No,
because it won't
no. You
interrupt the
can.
session.
Yeah.
So if anyone have a question, please unmute yourself and ask.
I told you briefly, and in fact, that Usha ji must have circulated that article of mine, Anecdotes of Gandhi ji, that I heard from people who were close to him. And I was not present myself, and my wife's grandmother herself was a very was a white American, and she was one of the two white females in Sabarmati Ashram. The first was Meera Behan, and the second was my wife's grandmother, Kamala Nimkar, and Elizabeth Lundy, basically. And so a lot of things I've written in my article is about these people. Yeah.
I would like to know some more thing about Gandhi ji, sir.
Who is this?
Jaya.
Okay, can you show me your face, please?
I'm shaking my hand.
Oh no, I can't see you. I think you have unmuted your video.
No, sir.
Ah,
I have a
now I can see you. Okay, tell me,
thank.
Jaya. Yes, sir. Ah.
I would like to know some more thing about Gandhi ji, sir,
What?
because I after his death only, like you, I was born.
So what do you want to know? Because the his life is infinite. You have to ask specific question.
No, for example, how he was handling the reporters, newspaper editors, how
You
he
see,
was behaving.
he was a very open person. So anybody who asked him a question, he would reply. If he was busy, then naturally, like on every Mondays, then he would tell them that you please ask, give me in writing, and I'll answer the question. He never said no. And first of all, and secondly, there was a lot of people around him. In those times, this intrusive press was not there. This TV and etc. People were they were reporters, so they took an appointment. They came, and he never said no. He was always open, because this was his mechanism to spread his word. So not only he wrote large, all of you are old, but I don't think you have read. He wrote 100 volumes. His writings and everything are in 100 volumes. The remarkable thing you will not be able to read now, but it's a very interesting thing on different things he talked, etc. And so these reporters who came and interviewed him, it was a very important thing for him, because through those reporters, his message was spread. So your question was answered, Jaya?
Yes, sir. Thank
Okay.
you.
Okay.
May I say
Yeah.
something?
Yeah.
Mr. May I say something? I'm Ramchandran.
Your face is not
Hello.
Ramchandran. Your face.
Your face is not visible.
Oh, face. Oh, I don't know how to do it.
But
Anyway, you can hear me?
sure. Please go ahead. Please go ahead.
Video to press it.
Okay.
There is a video and audio.
Sure.
Video.
Yeah, I'm not I am 92 year old.
Oh, so you must have
Hello.
seen Gandhi then.
Hello.
So you must have
Hello.
seen Gandhi.
Very very interesting way I saw him. I was
Tell me. Tell
seven,
me.
8 year old when my grandfather Ananda Padmanabh Rao was one of the trustees of the Srirangam temple, Ranganatha temple in
Okay.
Srirangam in Tamil Nadu.
Okay.
And
Okay.
that was the time when Harijans were not allowed into the temple.
Yes.
So the board of trustees, of which my grandfather Ananda Padmanabh Rao was one of the members, he was the only trustee who voted for Harijan entry.
Very
The
good.
others were all orthodox. So Mahatma Gandhi's special train came to Srirangam station. He refused to get out of the special compartment. He said, "I'll not set my foot on the soil of Srirangam till Srirangam Ranganatha Swami temple is opened for all Harijans." So he learnt that my grandfather Ananda Padmanabh Rao was the only trustee who had voted for entry of Harijans into the temple. So he sent for him, and we entered the compartment. I was 6 or 7 years old. We entered the special compartment, And they both were in conversation. I did not understand. I only knew Gandhi was a great man. I am one of those lucky chaps whom my hair, he ruffled my hair and sort of pinched my cheek.
Yes.
I am my greatness lies, my greatness lies in that.
No, no, but that was a common thing. Now tell me, when you met him, did you feel anything in yourself? Was there something magnetic? Huh? Was too long a story?
Yeah, you know, it automatically, you know, even your mind is predisposed because we were knowing my grandfather was a great admirer, and at 6 or 7 years old, not much of discretion or analytical ability on my mind, but predisposition that I am seeing a great man is refusing to get down from the special carriage because Srirangam temple trustees have voted against Harijan entry, and my grandfather is specially invited because he knew that he was the only trustee who voted for entry of Harijans into the temple. So automatically I was geared towards admiration, geared towards his spirituality and all that. Another question I wanted to ask, very surprising that he was never ritual. I never seen him a photograph worshipping God or entering a temple or going around a temple or something, except that he fasted, and he doesn't attach any religious importance to his fasting. Have you anything to say on this?
You are very correct, because see, when you become spiritual, you don't need to be ritual. Spirituality itself takes you to the truth, and you are at peace with yourself. In fact, everybody, and that is why all these people today that we see, they don't know a damn thing about India. They don't know a damn thing about the great,
teachers, saints.
Not saints, but about the great intellectual and great spiritual thought of India. I write a lot on that, because I believe that that is the greatest thing that we have given to the mankind. It is not ritual. It is a great spiritual thought. And Gandhi was a great spiritual person. So when you become spiritual, you don't require all this tamasha. In fact, there was a friend of my father who was a very famous later on. He became, he was the editor of Hindustan, and he was a very well-known journalist. So he told me, because, you know, I used to meet all my father's friends, and I used to always ask them what was Gandhi like, etc. And he said once an astrologer came to Gandhiji, and he said, "I would like to see your hand." So he sent the word that I am spinning right now. So the astrologer sat for a couple of hours. Then he again sent the word. He says, "I am still spinning." So he says, "How long do I have to wait?" So Gandhi said, "Till I get Sampoorna Swaraj." So that idiot understood. She's not interested in any of this tamasha. And so many times he went to the temples, he found the temples absolutely horrible, ugly. He just came out. So, because you don't require. I have visited almost all the temples of this country, and I'm sorry to say, I've written an article on this, my experiences of temples. I find them very strange. So that was another thing I'll tell you is there was a father of my friend, and he was very handsome, with very light eyes, very fair. He was studying in Allahabad. And the train naturally one day passed with Gandhiji there. So he went to see him. Naturally, he was very fair and in smart clothes. Gandhiji saw. So he called him. He went to his dibba, and actually Gandhiji was sitting in the window. So he says, "I need 2 paisa. So my friend's father said, "For what?" He says, "I need to smoke a cigarette." So this idiot said, no, smoking is very bad for health and this and that. So Gandhi had a great laugh, because, you know, this is how you see people.
Thank you, sir.
Yes.
Thank
you. Yes, better have a Usha Prasad. You wanted to ask a question?
Yeah. Has Gandhiji's name ever been considered for a posthumous Nobel Peace Prize?
Yeah, see, Nobel Prize is never given posthumously.
Oh, I see.
And he was so many times nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize, but at that time the colonial powers were so strong,
Exactly. Yeah.
and he fought with those idiots.
Colonial. Yeah.
And those people were the ones who were powerful in the Nobel Committee,
That's
because
right.
I knew some of the people in the Nobel Committee, and they told me that, naturally, whatever happens in Nobel Committee is kept secret for 50 years. So
Oh,
naturally,
I
his
see.
name was proposed in 1940s and etc. And so it's now more than 50 years. And they said yes, many times it was proposed. And now the prizes are given: Gandhi of 21st century, Gandhi of 22nd century.
Correct.
So that is that.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, sir.
Anyway, he didn't care about all these things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm Shanti
Ah.
Chikarmane. I knew that Gandhiji was advising against alcoholism and all that. And now I find the present day, all the poor ladies who are working as housemaids and laborers, they are fighting with the husbands are alcoholics, and these women have to earn and support the families. How do you think Gandhiji's teaching can be taught to these politicians of the present day? That
Politicians are useless people. You don't teach them. They are beyond learning. You teach the youngsters, and that is why I'm talking to you. We have quite a number of laborers here. These poor women, they work hard in the field, they earn money, they go, their husbands snatch that money, they drink and they beat them up. Now can you imagine, some of these husbands are very thin and small, and these women, because they are working hard in the field, they have become quite sturdy. So I gave each one of them a lathi, and I said, why don't you beat your husbands? So they got very upset by that. And this is the biggest problem, and this is what Gandhiji wrote: how woman can say no, how woman can do this and that. Because it requires, the whole society is so horrible in our country. Just look at, because Gandhiji, the biggest lesson of Gandhiji was, be the change what you want to see. Ask yourself, your children, your grandchildren, whether you would like to teach this revolution, because it is from the woman which starts the revolution. Because when the woman become powerful, both mentally and otherwise, then the revolution starts, because she has the goodness of the family. She knows whether how to utilize the money and etc. And when the money is being spent on all these frivolous things, then this is what happens. So this is something that needs to be taught. We have a small school here where we started for my daughters. I have two daughters, and the school has become very famous. And my younger daughter now is a trustee and runs a school, and she teaches all these different things, that how to be brave. They are both, this is a co-education school, but the girls are taught how to be brave, how to stand on your feet, how to think about independently. And unless and we do that, all the Gandhi's teachings will not work, because these people now have constitutionalized alcohol. You make alcohol for cars, you make alcohol for drinking, you make alcohol for everything. That's what it is.
I read somewhere
Hmm.
that Gandhi was preparing a constitution for India,
Hmm.
or one of his ardent supporters, one Agarwal or somebody, his name I think is Agarwal. He was framing a constitution where, of course, Gandhi's ideas that, government should be far away, village should have the government, people should rule, decide their own future, and he brought in a clause which says liberty should be contingent on faithfulness to the state. So Gandhi was disturbed by that idea of faithfulness to the state, because he felt that if this clause comes in the constitution, liberty will take a back seat. So he suggested Ambedkar as the
Yes.
person who should rewrite the
Yes,
constitution.
yes, yes.
His original he although constitution originally Gandhian constitution, he himself did not support some of the ideas of the so-called Gandhian constitution. Have you anything to say on this?
Yeah, you see, that was another greatness of Gandhi. Ambedkar criticized Gandhi, gave all sort of galleys to him, was very anti Gandhi. But it was a greatness, yes, but it was the greatness of Gandhi. In fact, you should read the book by Arun Shuri on Ambedkar. And there are a lot of writings about Ambedkar, you know, the way he used to say, just like Savarkar and etc. Now, the question is Gandhi understood that Ambedkar was a remarkable man, an intellectual. So he was the one who forced on Nehru that, listen, let him write, let him be one of the major authors of Constitution. Because Nehru never wanted Ambedkar. Because Nehru knew that Ambedkar was a very virulent person and was not a very good person, but a great intellectual. So Gandhi himself said, you please take him and utilize. Because Gandhiji's greatness was that he used to take all different points of view. Because he felt that in whatever way they can benefit the country, then it should be used. So that is how it was done. And naturally, by the time when the constitution everything was made, Gandhi was already very old. Near, he knew that his time had come, and he was not a very happy person, because he died a very broken person, because all his dreams of non-violence and the village swaraj etc. were all gone, because all the people were too enamored by the Russian model of massive industrialization and etc. So, and now we are coming back and thinking that if the Gandhian model had continued, we would have been a much happier and better nation.
Sir, can I ask you a question?
Yes, Usha.
I just want to know, being such an intuitive person, had he any inkling that he was going to be killed or pass away or something like that?
Yes, yes, of course, yes. He said many times that I may not last very, very long, because he had an inkling, and a lot of his experiments on sex were a part of that. See, the sex and death are very closely related. And he's sleeping naked with his nieces, his dreams of seeing darkness everywhere. No, these were all the potents of his trying to get a feeling that his time has come.
Come into terms with it.
Yes, and naturally he was still too much rooted with the history, with the story of India. So till the last moment he was. In fact, it's very interesting that the last thing that he did before he was killed was to try to bring sulha between Patel and Nehru. They used to fight all the time.
Correct.
It was the last thing that he did before he went out and got killed.
Any other questions? Please ask, sir, before the time runs out. Anybody else wants to ask anything else? No. Please carry on.
I am Vasanta Rangamani. I am 76 years old. I have not seen Gandhiji, but I have seen his grandson, Gopalakrishna Gandhi, admirer of Gopalakrishna Gandhi. Such a very, very nice person. So I felt very bad. He had inherited so much from his grandfather, I felt. So now the time is, the way violence we see everywhere. How are we to implement Gandhi's principles in the younger generation is always in my mind nowadays.
Very sweet.
So that is what you should teach your younger generation.
Yeah, all I am trying to my limited knowledge, sir.
No.
Himalayas. You're all in Himalayas.
Nobody has limited knowledge. Most illiterate women have produced excellent children without education, etc. Is the inner happiness and goodness that you should tell children that this country is much bigger than all this nonsense that is happening right now. You should all follow your inner conscience. Don't get into this, because it's the younger generation who are the future of this country, not you and I. And it is all the more necessary for all of you to take this as a very, very, in a very positive manner, not only positive manner, but as a duty to really teach your grandchildren. You don't have to go and teach in the schools, but teach your children, teach your grandchildren how to be better citizens, how not to tell lies, how not to steal, how, you know, children start stealing and telling lies because this is a part of the process. And when you beat them up, they start telling lies more. And that is the worst thing. In fact, when we talk to the children in our school, etc., I tell my daughter, I said, this is what we should try to help them. Because children learn very fast that if they tell lies, then they will not be beaten up. And this continues all their life. I get so many people coming and working here. A lot of them are total liars. I, for whatever reason, have gotten this ability. I can sense immediately. I will not be able to tell you where are you telling lies. I just can sense that something is not right. And, you know, life becomes much simpler by telling the truth. And people are sincere enough to also understand he has made, he or she has made a mistake, and let us forgive. So that is something which you have to, it is your duty to tell your children, grandchildren, etc. And that is the best thing that you can do for Gandhi. Because otherwise, this violence and etc. are coming from people who have been told right from the beginning that violence is the best thing in life. And God say, narrative is the number one narrative right now. Can you believe the person who killed Gandhi is now being revered as a saint in this country? Mm. Where have we brought our country?
I know. Feel
we
sorry.
Should be ashamed of ourselves. So this is the solemn duty of all of you. To go and tell your children, grandchildren, some of you who can do something in the schools, that will be fine. But does not matter. Whomsoever you meet, your people who work in your house, their children, just always teach them about this.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah. Usha ji, how come the only 16 came?
I have so no idea.
You are not a good organizer. Or this topic on Gandhi is not very attractive to a lot of you.
No, sir, I have just one more small question.
You can keep on asking questions because we still have time.
Do you feel the name Gandhi used as a surname has been misused by any family?
they can't help. You ask a question and you ran away.
Sir, I'm standing and waiting to hear.
Well, you better sit down and listen to the whole thing.
Yeah.
Gandhi, you see, the people who are misusing whatever it is, they can't help, you know, because Heroes Gandhi had nothing to do with Mahatma Gandhi. Gandhi is a very common name for the whole Gujarati. Tomorrow you'll say that Modi is being misused, which is correct. But there's a large number of Modis all over the world. And so that is not the thing. It is just the legacy of Gandhi.
Exactly.
Not being used properly. So don't run away. till 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, we have time.
Yeah.
Your wife is the one who is arranging this, so all the more you have a responsibility of sitting next to her.
We both live in Delhi.
Ah.
So my father-in-law has seen Gandhi. He was working in Delhi. And,
what is his name? What is his name?
No, G. Santhanam. His name was G. Santhanam.
Okay.
He was working in the railway board. And we are also actually Rajaji's first daughter-in-law is my periyamma and my Mausi. But I haven't met Gandhiji, but we have great regard for him. And I'm fortunate that I go to
Please
January mark. For whenever that 30th January function. But last time we went, we couldn't go in. There was a lot of security and all. So I have seen Tara also there.
Only 16 people.
I cannot explain in words. Gandhi means a lot for
us. Good.
But I have some fresh learning from whatever you have shared today.
Thank you.
Okay.
Some more questions. Now 17 have joined.
I think the school, they must start telling about Gandhi, sir. About Gandhi, even the school, they must start teaching these things.
Yeah, but
What?
how can you teach when the school books have been, they are removing all these things from the school books? This is a
I
tragedy.
know. Yes,
So
very true.
all the old people, if your children are in the powers or IAS, etc., you teach them, you tell them. This is so nonsense. After all, this country is not only by 10% of whatever gundas. This country is by majority people who are good people. But when you remain silent, then you are helping the gundas. In fact, all over the world, the revolutions have come by the gundas. But the gundagardi has come by these few gundas. But more than that, the majority of people who remained silent, they were also helping those gundas. And that is what Gandhi taught, that if you don't like it, you should take the mantle on your shoulders and you should fight. Fight non-violently, fight very nicely, but you should always fight and oppose. And that is
Most
also.
grandchildren are abroad.
Yeah, so that is also your problem.
That's another big problem.
You never taught them the greatness of this country. The schooling system and the education system never taught. You see, I give lectures in IITs. This is exactly what I tell them, to please show your hand, because I tell them that I have the power to grant you green cards. And so please show your hands, how many of you want to go abroad? So 90% of them show their hand, they want to go abroad. Now, can you imagine why they want to go abroad? So I asked them, I said, what is there in the abroad? Then they'll give me this reason, that reason. And I said, why can't you make this country the same way as you as there is in abroad? And then they are silent. So the question is this, that our education system, our elders, the first thing the elders say, no, don't stay yet, you go abroad. Go inside your own conscience and ask for yourself. This is what Gandhi taught. If you yourself are not honest, then how can you expect your children to be honest? If you yourself are going to tell your children to go abroad, then how can you say, you know, they are going abroad, etc.? You have to teach them about the greatness of this country. You have to teach them about the culture and the old ethos. And in the abroad, they are also not happy. You cannot change the color of your skin. I was in America for 7 years. I was the president of India Association. I still keep on going to give lectures, etc. They all the Indians, quite a lot of them are miserable. They long for India. You cannot get the India out of your system. No matter in what how twang you can speak in the American accent, but the moment they see your face, they know who you are. So this is what it is. So we have to be honest with ourselves. I was the only one who came back in my batch. We were 325 students in my IIT batch, and I'm the only one who went to United States and came back. It required guts.
Asha Natkarni,
Yes.
you are going to talk now. You are going to ask some questions.
No, there's such intellectuals and here that I dare not open my mouth. No, but I have to say I am a great admirer of Gandhi because I was, like you say, tell teenagers. I was doing my Hindi exams through Dakshin Bharat Hindi Prachar Sabha. And I think for every exam I did up to my BA in that. And every time there was, there were tests like for any other exam. And one of the and every year we would have a bit, something about Mahatma Gandhi. And we used to love the way, of course, our teacher taught us and the way we read, and it was so beautiful. And
Your camera is moving a lot.
I really, oh, because I have it on my lap, my iPad was just going to die, so it's being charged. Sorry,
Just
let me try now.
put it at some place. Or anyway, you can remove your video.
The wire is very short. That's why I'm
Yes.
holding it. Just one second.
We can talk. I've seen your face now. Yeah.
Nothing to see. But anyway, so, for me, I've become a big cynic.
So I really, that's why I don't like to open my mouth very much. I had a chance to go abroad to study, but I didn't want to go because, you know, I love Bangalore and I loved my studies here. I loved everything. I loved the people, everything. But now I've been abroad and I've come back. And I don't know, just there's no that, you know, I mean, all this casteism, I thought it would be a world, you know, very peaceful country following Gandhi's principles and all that. But we are not. We're so caste-based. Everything is caste-based. Every day you open the paper, 5 pages on how elections are done, how this caste is fighting for that. The seats right now, you know, all the lobbying and the juggling of seats and all that is going on. It's made me a big cynic. And so I never open my mouth, and when I do, I have 10 people pouncing on me for my views, so I don't speak. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
No, it's all right.
And I'm, by the way, a teacher, and I'm scared to talk politics in the class here. Of course, I don't teach. I taught abroad, so I don't teach here. But when, and I teach grammar to school kids, so nothing comes into that. So it's very difficult to tell if, you know, you need to find out people's political affiliation before you open your mouth now.
No, that's not correct.
See, I'm very, very disappointed with the way history books are manipulated. One party comes, they put some chapters. Another party, you mean every year this child is going to be tortured by different views? So what is the concept it's going to have when it reaches adulthood?
So that is all the more reason why people like you, who are teachers and who have understood and learned things, is to teach the children, because through the spoken word, the impact is much more. And you can also tell what is wrong with the books, etc. For example, a couple of years ago, I gave a big lecture to the students, children here, on Gandhiji. This was on Independence Day. And then I asked them, I said, what is the situation? So they all were parroting about Godse and about RSS and how Gandhi was so bad because he wanted to give so much money to Pakistan, all sort of things. I told them, I said, you know, this narrative, I asked them, I said, where did you learn this? They said, from our parents and from our uncles and elders. So I said, the most important thing is, today, there is a huge amount of information available on the net, but you have to also find out the correct information. And I said, you go, because in our library, in our school, there are lot of good books. A lot of good books. So I said, please read those books and also learn about what happened. And then I gave them a lot of lecture on how my father and so many people my father was doing his PhD in Hindi literature in Allahabad University in 1940. At that time, Hindi literature, a professor, he would have been a very big person in the education field. He just left everything. His father, my grandfather, did not speak with him for 1 year because he said, you lost everything in your life. You would have been anybody. And you just gave it up. So I used to ask my father, and he says the thing was so inspiring that anybody who had a sense of a little bit of conscience followed Gandhiji. And so this is what we need to do in whatever small capacity. We need to tell our children, our grandchildren, that if you are a teacher, to tell the children what is correct and what is not correct. And children, by the way, are very smart. You think that they are being, their thinking is being changed by all these nonsensical books, but they are very smart because it's the human nature. When something is truthfully told, it affects. When you read all sort of nonsense, there is enough vivek in every one of the children to know what is right and what is not wrong. I found this out with so many of the students, so many of young people, that when you tell them properly, they are very inspired. So don't lose faith in yourself and others.
Hello. Hello.
Tell me.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
I would like to, in this context, I am Vanaja Ramprasad.
Okay.
In this context, I would like to share a small information, thing about Gandhiji. Recently, I came across one of the quotations from Gandhiji. I read it somewhere. The best way to find yourself is to lose yourself in looking after or doing service to others. This is the most important thing that we have to tell our children from the beginning, that they have to accommodate big people, I mean older people or whoever it is, people around, they should be serving them in whatever small way or big way. That I felt very happy to read that quotation, and that stands out so well in Mahatma Gandhi's life. And a big, big, big pranams to our father of the nation.
Yes.
Yes, my mom.
Thank you.
I feel the joint family is not there. That is the reason for all these things, sir. Joint family system is not there. All elderly people are in the old age home. Most of them, our children are abroad. Parents are staying in India. These are the basic thing has happened.
This is taking place all over the world.
So you know, and for many of us, particularly for the children, the name of Gandhi is known as Mahatma Gandhi Road in the city.
MG Road.
MG Road.
MG Road.
MG Road. They don't even know it's Mahatma Gandhi Road, MG Road.
They spoil the beauty of that road also.
Okay, Usha, I think...
Can I speak
I want to share one thing. I didn't know anything about Gandhiji in the early years. I married one IAS officer, Rangamani. Very simple, sincere, honest. And my son got... it's not nothing about Gandhiji, but in general, I want to share. My son got All India 11th in IIT. We didn't ask him to go abroad. He went abroad and he came back. That time also we kept quiet. We just left. And my husband said, happy, good, I'm happy that he has come back. But all our family members, they were bombarding us. We're such a family we have never seen. And he has come back. What is this nonsense? They said. But we didn't answer any of them also. It's all because my husband used to say, I'm not good in English, sorry. So I cannot speak very well. My husband used to say, it's non-violence of the strong and not non-violence of the weak. I like that expression. I keep repeating it to my children. Thank you, sir, for giving an opportunity. You are a Padma Shri awardee listening to me. I'm really honored. I am honored. Thank you.
Thank you,
Ramu sir, can you please propose the vote of thanks? Ramu sir, are you there?
It's all right. You know that this formalities are not important. Huh? Thank you very much for
waiting to speak. Sir, one second. Ramu sir, I don't think he's there, Usha. He should be there.
He is there. He's on mute.
Please ask him to mute.
I sent a request already. Ramchandran sir, could you please unmute? I've sent a request. You have to just accept it.
Hello.
Hello, ma'am.
Who's speaking?
Hello.
Yaar pesunga.
Madam, Dukkan solreya.
Okay, thank you very much, Usha ji.
Thank you so much, sir. Made us all so happy, though.
Thank you so much, sir. Okay. I am sure that Usha ji is such a wonderful person who always arranged everything in a proper way. But very unfortunate, many people didn't join today. But I can definitely say that it's their loss.
Hello.
Their loss. Yes,
so
exactly.
We all are so happy.
Hello, I'm here. I think Ramu is here.
Yes, Ramchandran, please go ahead.
Can you hear me? Okay. I've been asked to propose a vote of thanks. It's a great honor on me. And I liked the way when you opened the talk, you were congratulating Usha for her persistence, because you said her persistence made you come online and talk to us. And sorry, it's only 17 of us, but the Gandhian quality of persistence, your whole talk is sort of focused on the Gandhian attribute of persistence, persistence, persistence. Till the end, he knew that he will fall to aggression, fall to violence, but still he never bothered. He was not a coward or anything. And some of the phraseology, Harijan, you know, that he saw God in everybody. Every human being is a God according to him. He didn't have to go to the temple to worship. He worshiped the spirit of human spirit. And I am very taken to Einstein's famous tribute to him when he passed away. He said Einstein's words were, generations to come, it may be, will scarce believe, but such a one as this ever in blood and flesh walked on this earth. Mm. You know, that famous quotation of Einstein, and such a great man, and living in the era of Nazi tyranny and all that, and he could choose his words very well. And I thank both you, sir, and Usha's persistence. And persistence is the main lesson that you have taught us today. And so glad that you write on the population. You go and talk about human thoughts, and you talk to schools and narratives. And we are all your students from today onwards.
Thank you.
Because you've taken Mujani, your lesson.
So you will send this recording by whatever email, etc.
Yes, we'll do that.
Okay.
Sir.
Good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you, Usha. Thank you, Usha.
Thank you all very much for joining.
Thank you, everyone, for joining.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.